Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it is a lovely morning, isn't it? I hear you're going on a picnic. Well, it's just the day for it. I hope the weather continues. Since we have prayed together, I have no doubt it will. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. I was just thinking this morning, before I came down here, that this is our 10th study. And really, we're only now getting into the actual parable. We have been thinking about the leading up to the parable, the teaching of the Lord in the chapter 24. He's answering questions from disciples. And this parable in Matthew 25, beginning in the verse 1, is related to what he has been saying. Let's read a few verses just to remind ourselves. Verse 1, Matthew 25, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." The Lord Jesus, the great parable teller, uses these word pictures to get across to us great truths. And what he says is absolutely accurate. You know, when I came in this morning before the school started, one or two or three or four budding artists were showing me their products in the classroom. And they were explaining to me what it was they were drawing. Because I'm so silly, looking at them, I could hardly tell what they were. Not that the artists were poor at drawing. It's just me. I'm poor at understanding. Well now, the Saviour, when he draws a picture with words, it's not hard to understand. It's not hard to understand. Here, the Saviour is speaking to us. I was thinking of this just this morning. The Saviour is speaking to us. Now, the chapter 24 consists of a conversation that he had with his disciples. You can see that at the very beginning of chapter 24. They went to him and said, "Lord, explain this all to us. When the age will end and when you'll come again. Tell us about that." And he did. But now in the chapter 25, the Saviour, while still speaking to the disciples, is actually more directly talking to you. Now, why do I say that? Because the Saviour is speaking to the disciples here about events at the end of the age. They won't be there. They will have gone to heaven by the time that which the Saviour is speaking about in chapter 25 and the opening verses takes place. But we who are alive today, and as I've said to you before, it is very, very, very possible, indeed more than likely, that this generation will see the end events that the Saviour speaks about. Now, that should make you sit up and listen. That should make you sit up and listen. These things will be seen by a generation one day. And it's very possible you're that generation. Because things are moving very quickly toward the end of this age. So, the Saviour is very particularly speaking to us. He's addressing himself. These are words spoken 2,000 years ago to disciples, but they're words that are meant for us. Then, the end of the age, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. So, we want to just see what sort of a picture the Saviour paints of the church as it comes to the end of the age. We have been looking at the stepping stones, haven't we? Stepping stones that have carried us across the river of this age. From way back when the Saviour left his disciples, right up till he comes again. Stepping stones. The Lord marking out the path that the world and the events in the world will take. And he's showing these events. And we can mark them off and say, well, that's happened, and that's happened, and that's happened, so we haven't much longer to go. You likely head off on your summer holidays this year, and the chances are you'll spend time in a motor car. Daddy will be driving, and Daddy knows where he's going, but you don't. And you'll ask the question that little boys and girls have asked ever since motor cars were invented. Are we nearly there, Daddy? I'm tired sitting here just bowling along in the car. Are we nearly there? Because you don't know how far you've travelled or where exactly it is you're going. So sometimes we look out for signs that indicate that we're getting near the end of the journey. Very often, if we, as a family, were heading to the seaside, the first view of the sea was the sign we were coming near the end of the journey. And the Lord here has given signs, indications of the approaching end of the journey. And we have been looking at that, and this word then appears in the verse 1, and we have, I believe, one last sign to look at. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. And as we read on down, we ended at verse 5, and they're all sleeping. These young ladies who are engaged in waiting for the bridegroom, they're taking part in a wedding, and it was their duty to attend unto the bridegroom. But while they were waiting for him, they went to sleep. And that's a picture presented by the Lord Jesus telling us here's what things will be like. The Church of Jesus Christ at the end of the age is going to be like these young ladies, asleep, asleep. It's a sign of the last days. The last days will see the Church of Jesus Christ sleeping, sleeping. Now, these young ladies have forgotten what their duty is. They've forgotten that they're supposed to be watching out for the bridegroom. And instead they have found a nice little comfortable corner, settled themselves down, and nodded off to sleep. And the Lord Jesus says that's what the church is going to be like. Now, the church wasn't always like that. Important for us to notice. The Savior says, verse 1, they took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So at the first they were actively engaged in the duties that were theirs. They went out to meet him. We were waiting for him. That's how the church was in earlier time. I always like to stress this to adults whenever I take up this subject, that the church of the apostles was a church very, very conscious that the Lord's coming back one day. Now, they didn't think he was coming back any day. No, they didn't think that. In fact, Paul was very particular in his teaching of the church that he was not going to come back in their day. But nevertheless, they live with an awareness that Christ was coming back again. And that dictated how they lived. If I believe the Lord Jesus is coming back again, I'm going to live with that truth ever before me. I'm going to seek to so live that when he comes back, I'll not be ashamed. I'll not find myself having to explain to the Savior why I lived a careless life as if he was never coming back again. No, if I believe he's coming back again, then I live with that in mind. I've used the picture, boys and girls, and you know this one, of the classroom that has been left on its own. Maybe the teacher has to answer the phone or answer the door or talk to someone, and the teacher says, now you be quiet while I'm gone. Maybe some of you have actually been in that situation. Now, if for a moment you begin to forget the teacher's coming back again, what happens? You start gabbling. You get up out of your place. You run over to someone else. And suddenly, you're not acting as if you were in a school classroom. You're acting as if you were outside in the playground. You've forgotten that the teacher is coming back again. But anyone in the classroom who says the teacher said they're coming back again, I'm going to sit in my desk. Because she could walk through the door at any moment. So I better sit up. that person will behave. But the person who forgets that the teacher has said she's coming back again, that person begins to act improperly. Get up out of their seat and run about and gabble and talk and make a noise. Well, it's the same with the church, boys and girls. As soon as the church forgets that the Lord Jesus is coming back again, then the church forgets its duties. Here it's pictured as going asleep. When you go to sleep, you stop everything. You stop everything apart from sleeping. You set aside every duty, every action, and you just lie down in bed and close your eyes and go to sleep. That's it. Well, when the church goes to sleep, it stops doing those things that the Lord has required it should do. Here, it's pictured for us with the bridegroom due to come back, and these young ladies are all out with lamps. Lamps to guide the way for them. But they have set aside their duties. They've set aside the lamps. They've forgotten about them. The lamps go out, and they're sleeping. That's the church. That's the church. It lets the lamp go out. The light of witness, the light of testimony, the light of holy living. It forgets all that. And the Saviour is showing us that here. Now, I said to you that the early church was not negligent and careless. I found out something interesting. I find it interesting, hope you do. You see that word there in verse 1? They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Meet. We're looking at that word. You know what it is to meet someone. Some of you met me this morning in the classroom. Well, this word meet here, meet the bridegroom, it only appears 4 times in the New Testament. 4 times. Let me show you the last time it appears. We're turning over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, that's more than halfway through the New Testament. The chapter 4 and the verse, well, I want to read verse 16 first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You know something? When the Lord comes back, everybody's going to know about it. God's people throughout the ages have done their very best to get the attention of the world. Done their very best to draw the world's minds and hearts and thinking to the truth of God and to the gospel. They have advertised, they've gone out in open air, they've done this and that and the other thing to get the attention of the world, but the world's not interested, not listening. We had a mission recently. We tried very hard to get folk around here to come in. Well, you know, very, very few were in the least interest. But when Jesus comes again, the world's going to sit up and listen. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there's 4 things that will get the world's attention. The shout of God, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead rising. That is, the dead believers rising. Rising. That's going to get everybody's attention. The next verse says, then, at that time, amidst all these wonderful things, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, that's with the risen saints, in the clouds to meet. To meet, that's our word. It says that the young ladies with their lamps went out to meet the bridegroom. That's our word. And it speaks of them going out waiting for the Lord to come. That's the picture of the church, waiting for the Lord to come. That's how it was in the early days of the church. And time again, as Paul writes, because he's the chief writer of the New Testament, and as he writes to the churches, he makes reference to that. He says, you're waiting for the Lord to come. You're looking for the Lord to come. He says that again and again in the epistles. Because that was the disposition. That was the expectation of the church in the first generation. But after that, the church began to doze. It changed its views about the return of Christ. There were false teachers who arose and who invented a method of interpreting God's word that just robbed it of its meaning. They came to God's word and they said, when God says this, he doesn't really mean this. He means, and I'll explain what he means. And they put their meaning on the plain words of God. And when you do that, you lose the message of God. You lose what God is saying. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, that's why the church went to sleep. That's why the church went to sleep. It lost sight of the fact the Lord's coming back again. The Lord's coming back again. And it's important for us to bear that in mind. Now, because you have a number of exciting things to take place today, and I don't want to encroach upon your time, I'm going to leave it there, asking you to just visualize the fact that back in the early days of the church, they were expecting the bridegroom back again. But then there came this sleepiness. Tell me, are you sleeping this morning on this matter? Are you careless this morning? Or is there, even during the day, the thought arising, the Lord Jesus is coming again? What a change that will mean. What will it mean for me? Will I be ready for him coming? Oh, ponder these things, boys and girls. Don't forget them. Don't be asleep on the subject of the Saviour's return, but rather expect him. Expect him. We'll leave it there. We trust the Lord will bless his word to every heart. Enjoy your picnic today. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, the children are looking forward to their picnic. Oh, that they might also think of that day when Jesus comes again. And for the Christian, there will follow something much more glorious than a picnic. It will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, bless your word to the boys and to the girls. And bless the school today and undertake for it. Remember the girls who are in the exam room this morning taking exams. I pray your hand will be upon them. Guide them, help them. And may they know what it is to look to the Lord for his help. Undertake for us, one and all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.